Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes. Nice
dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is Four Center, a show about Star Wars, pop culture, the ultimate adventure, life itself, and Star Wars news dropping whenever it wants to drop. I'm Ken Napsack.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And I'm Jennifer Landa.
We're here. We're here to discuss and catch up to the Acolyte trailer, which dropped on May 4th. This is the official trailer. We had the official tease, which at one point I thought was the trailer, and I'm happy to wake up and or was happy to wake up and find out more. But we'll get into those details in a second. Before we dive in, I want to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible, and you can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Our 4Center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us is The Light of the Jedi by Charles Soule. You go back to the beginning of the High Republic era, because this we're about to discuss is perhaps the end of the High Republic era. Download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/4Center. Again, that's audibletrial.com/4Center for your free audiobook. We also have a quick ask before we get to the trailer. But, Joseph, we don't want to forget one aspect of our 4Center empire.
That is right. We have had so much fun releasing Jennifer's wonderful Jedi Beat episodes. They had great, great success on YouTube. And the big finale is the life and legacy of Carrie Fisher. I can't even remember what all was going on, but we had a backup of stuff to cover. And so that episode kind of came out in a blitz of other episodes. So we wanted to highlight it. Carrie Fisher is so important to the legacy of Star Wars and just an amazing person onto herself. I want to encourage you to check out Jennifer's great video, the finale of Jedi Beat for now, called The Life and Legacy of Carrie Fisher. Check it out. Who knows what the future will bring for the Jedi Beat? We don't, to be very clear. We'll discuss that at some other time.
All eyes turned to Jennifer. It's not all eyes to Jennifer, but yeah. There you go. Any words on that, Jen? Any pitch to go?
No. You know what came to mind was actually Barriss Offee's aging. That's kind of how I have aged a lot. No, but it was a lot of fun. And I have some ideas, and Ken and Joseph have some ideas as well. And we're trying to figure out how we could make it work, maybe make them a little bit shorter so I could churn them out faster. But yeah, we'll have to think, have to brainstorm on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're always in, I think we're always adjusting as we go here on Force Center Day. Keep up with covering as much as we can cover and talking about all the things we want to talk about. And it's always a little bit of a dance, and we are continuing to dance. Mm-hmm.
It is a dance. It's a safety dance. Here we go. We are going to dive in now to the Acolyte trailer. As I said, this was released on May 4th, Saturday, May 4th, Star Wars Day. I'm saying it could be considered a surprise. One of the reasons was exclusive footage in the first teaser trailer were shown at some screenings of The Phantom Menace. So Joseph and I had been there Friday night at El Capitan Theater, saw it. And then this happened, but I'll tell you my story, and then I want to hear your guys' action with it. My friend, our pal, our listener, PLD, Paul DeNuzzo of the Holy Snugs podcast, had texted me something Saturday morning about how could anyone not like that trailer? And I was like, yeah, last night at my screening, like a couple people tried to boo. I didn't know they'd released a new trailer. I went on with my day, did not check anything, was busy, and about 3 o'clock was like, oh, Paul meant the new Acolyte trailer. I had not. Okay, got it. So that's how I discovered. Maybe it was a surprise to me. Joseph, you were there with me at the screen, and you were flying the next morning. How did this find you?
At the screening, and I don't know what it was like other places, but at the screening at El Capitan, they showed an extended cut of May's fight with Indara, with Carrie Ann Moss, which... And then I think I was just kind of blitzed out on that. And I thought kind of the rest of the trailer was mostly from the teaser. And I, to be perfectly honest, it was a thrill to see the Phantom Menace in the theater again. And the extended fight with May and Indara looks phenomenal. But a big part of my journey with the Phantom Menace and my life as experience was the other people my age extra disliking the Phantom Menace because it wasn't the Matrix. And I have strong memories of going to the Matrix, you know, a month before Phantom Menace, maybe even less. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a more generic action movie. And I took my dad and and he was just kind of fixated on slimy Keanu in the tub and going, that was a weird one. But everybody else was just like, they wanted badass Star Wars with Trinity and Star Wars. And I was sort of consumed with the, like, 25 years later, here we are in an audience full of people who love the Phantom Menace. And here's Trinity in the Matrix or in Star Wars, you know. So then the way I actually saw this full trailer was... I was up at 4 a.m. watching Tales of the Empire, and I got some notification that a new Acolyte trailer is here. So while being exhausted from watching The Phantom Menace, I paused Tales of the Empire to watch the Acolyte trailer. Just, I get why so many different things come out on May the 4th, but it can be a bit overwhelming for someone like me who wants to savor. Mm-hmm. So I watched it quickly. And then when I got home, I really focused and just watched the trailer and savored it for itself.
The savor came later. That is quite a tale there. Yeah, I'm with you on that. Sometimes it's too much. Sometimes I think back in the day, I would have been like, I got to watch now, or like you did, just bring it up. But now I'm like, you know what? I'm going to finish breakfast. I'll get to it. I'll get to it. Jen, that was our experience. You did not see Phantom Menace Friday night, but you did see Return of the Jedi on May 4th. So you had a big Star Wars day as well. How did this fit into the plans there?
I would have loved to have seen this on the big screen. But I didn't know that this trailer came out until you guys told me. And I went, oh, because I hadn't been checking social media. And then when I started, once I knew and I started checking social media, I'm like, oh, no, it's everywhere. I don't have time to really enjoy it and sit with it. So I actually waited, I think, until yesterday to sit down with it and watch it. And I should have done a reaction video like I would have done back in the day, because my reactions were literally like, what? Oh, so,
what?
Yeah. A lot of shocks.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's wonderful. That's kind of an overall reaction to the trailer. We'll dive into some favorite moments in a second. But Joseph, I did want to get like just your overall vibe once you had the moment needed. Mm-hmm. And I'm totally with you. Sometimes, again, like I said, you're just like, all right, I do need this minute and 50 seconds to myself in this trailer. Once you got there, what'd you feel?
Yeah. And I mean, I liked it when I watched it, but it was sort of like, and I'm not even going to think about it anymore because I got to get back to Tales of the Empire. I just thought it was a great in our marketing world that we live in, where teaser and trailer, I thought teaser versus full trailer, I thought it actually lived up to that, where the previous did feel like a teaser and this one didn't feel like it was giving too much information, but it felt like the teaser was maybe for a little bit more in the bubble fans. And then this full trailer was really for like, are you a more casual Star Wars fan? Try out this new show. You don't need to know much. Here's the basic setup. The Jedi Master Soul trained this woman who became an assassin, and now she's killing Jedi. And there's a scary weirdo Darksider who, you know, looks like a combination of Kylo Ren and a Cenobite from Hellraiser. Awesome. More that it revealed felt great, I think, for in the bubble fans and for casual fans. So I was really thrilled with that.
Yeah, I love the distinction of what you're talking about. The teaser felt like a pretty full teaser, but yeah, you're right. There was a lot of questions, and this one did a great job setting that up. And look, we're gonna speculate as we always do. We don't go full down the path of speculation here in Force Center always, but there's a lot of things out there, that you can start connecting dots, and that's when I intentionally start to make it hazy, where even if I see a dot connect in a trailer, I'm like, I don't know, I'm not sure. It could be a potato, or it could be a Boba Fett ship. We don't know yet. We have a lot of fun, but I thought it delivered on that. And it was, I texted my friend Paul back and I said, you're right. How could anybody not like this trailer? This was a lot of fun, really set the tone and did some big things. So speaking of those big things, we want to get into favorite moments. Take this anywhere you want, Jen. What stood out to you that once you saw it and did your reactions to yourself with no camera, how dare you not tape something, not put content out there? What were some moments that you loved?
The first thing that stuck out to me was location. It felt very vast. It felt cinematic and epic. A lot of real world locations, real life sets. No problem with the volume, but there is something about that, you know, being shot on location. That was very exciting for me. The second thing I noticed was I found myself torn between who is the good team and who is the bad team, right? Which is the point of it all. And I really, really liked that. Because literally in a split second, I'm like, oh, wait, I don't like that person. Oh, yes, I do. They have compassion. Oh, wait, no, but I understand their motivation. So excellent. And the last thing I'll say was that I love Mother Anasea, who is challenging the idea that the Force dictates a person's destiny. I thought that was a great little nugget and something that I'm sure we're going to be diving into more in this series.
Absolutely. And in this episode, as we dive into themes presented in the trailer, but in terms of favorite moments, that was a well-delivered trailer line, you know, where it's taken out of context, whatever, but put in a trailer. And I just thought it had perfect pacing, tone. Everything about it was one of my favorite moments as well. A lot to choose from. We can talk about the big reveal of the Red Blade user. Yes, Sith are going to be in this story. Leslie Headland has said some of the stuff. We'll come to that in a bit. But that was a big moment. For me, was the scope. Yeah, absolutely, Jen. I agree with you. The scope, not just in terms of locations, but in terms of time. Very clearly, where we got some before, we got some now. We're going to be jumping around here a little bit, or maybe there's one episode with it. It's a framing device. I don't know, but I like seeing that we're going to see these characters in different eras of their life, different chapters of their existence. Was very fun for me. And, you know, we got lightsabers. We got spaceships crashing. We've got a big, giant, sweeping Star Wars locations. Justin, there's a lot of those moments that actually I loved. What did you connect with?
It definitely connected with the scope, just the number of different locations and environments. And yes, like kind of I think everything that, you know, maybe people who grew up with the original or prequel trilogy would kind of throw into that sort of Star Wars bucket of like, yeah, lightsabers and street fights and space fights and jumping back and forth in time. So like the consequences of your action, generational change, like the emotional and literal physical location and the style of action scope seemed really big, which was exciting to me. I think there are a couple really little just like, ooh, I like that shot when I watched it more closely. But I think the biggest thing that hit me was more glimpses into I believe the currently unnamed coven that Mother Anasei leads. I looked up Mother Anasei's database entry and I didn't have any clarification on the name. So if one has been released, I don't know it. So I'm just going to say the coven because they described it as a coven. The glimpse of just Zabrak. It was just fun to see another Zabrak in the coven. There's a shot of the Jedi Torben, who is played by the Lannister child. Cause like, why does seeing this person just immediately make me feel sorry for him as though he's trapped in trap?
Yes. Because
he's one of the Lannister children.
There you go. Got it. Okay.
That quick shot of his eyes filling up with darkness. Yes. Kelnaka's in the background.
Yes.
It looked very much like a moment of being possessed or hypnotized with the coven. Mm-hmm. And then there's this shot where when the voiceover is Sol saying, I trained her, of him leaning down to what I'm assuming and could be incorrect is a young Mei with the coven.
Right.
Which suggests this really interesting, like it looks like if that is Mei older than the Jedi normally take.
Mm-hmm.
But this is total speculation. I'm not attached to any of this. It's just where my imagination went of like, oh, did Sol come across Mei when she was a little older, already a part of some sort of force wielding coven and said, no, you have something special and I'm asking to take you. That would really heighten all of the conflict between the Jedi and the cult and or not the cult, the coven and Mei's, you know. So I think more than anything, it was just like, oh, this coven's not a side thing. That was or one detail or that's the conflict for the first three episodes, like how essential the coven seemed and just how cool and pulpy and philosophical at the same time. I was really excited by all the coven stuff.
Yeah, I agree. Being able to kind of pull back on it and see more than just a couple shots or a line and see, like you're saying, a lot of Jedi that we're about to know there, see a young Mei potentially there, and that being either a starting point or just to be a key point in Mei's existence and timeline and story and saga. I really love that, and that's going to be interesting. And I like that it's we got a lot of Night Sister stuff coming in other parts of Star Wars right now, but I love that this might be something in and of itself, into itself there.
Yeah. One other shot I wanted to shout out real quick is I always love seeing the Jedi Temple, but I realized it sparked to me that in this full trailer, the Jedi Temple just looks a lot cleaner, which makes me feel like a lot of environmental restrictions got killed on Coruscant between now and the Phantom Menace. And that's the reason for the color change of the Jedi Temple. Yeah. That's my headcanon until we find out other truths.
Yeah, no, what I loved about that shot too, and a shout out to, as always, we always do to our buddy Alex Davis, Star Wars Explained. I was watching his breakdown video like Saturday or whatever it was, and I was having a bowl of cereal in a big cup. And he comes to that point and he goes, I love how the temple looks, you know, built up a little bit. Like Coruscant is still being built up. And by the time of the prequels, it will have basically begun to swallow the temple. And I was eating cereal and I was like, oh, that's good, Alex. I was just talking and screaming. Well, that's really good. So I love that shot. And I don't know what it is about the Jedi Temple. Jenna, your thoughts on this too? Like anytime I see it, I just kind of get nerd chill excited. I don't know. The Jedi live there. Am I alone in that, Jen?
I love that. Yes, exactly. There is obviously a familiarity, emotional connection that we have to it, mixed in with something very new, which this like cult vibe that is happening with Mother Anaseya. And I just was like, whoa, this is terrifying, and yet I'm intrigued. So it's this beautiful mix of something that feels very comfortable and I don't want to say safe, but just like, you know, the Jedi Temple, and it just feels very orderly and safe. Mixed in with the scary cult, but I also understand their motivations. So,
Ooh, intriguing. Ooh, Jen understands the witches. She gets it. Okay. we're going to dive in a little bit more here. This show is designed to be a mystery that unveils itself from episode to episode. Leslie Headland's got a lot of great stuff out there about this show, as you know, you'd expect from a showrunner, but she's got some real, I always say, I get excited when she talks Star Wars. She describes it as an onion. It's going to peel back layer by layer, week to week or episode to episode. It is a mystery. It's been pitched to that in a lot of ways. We know it's a little bit of a murder mystery, but how does it make you feel about the characters we've met? Trust issues? Are you getting some trust issues going? Jen, I think you started to have that. Expectations building for twists and turns. You can speculate if you want here, and I don't want to get into, again, connecting the dots. I like to keep it a little hazy, but I've already developed trust issues about the characters. Jen, where are you with the characters?
I've decided I'm going to trust no one because automatically I feel a connection to Master Sol, and I'm like, oh, he has so much compassion that he wants to be the one to bring her in. I thought that was such a great line that they included. But I'm like, should I trust him? Maybe Mei has a reason for doing what she's doing. And maybe Mother Anaseya is right that they need to take action. And sometimes you got to pull the thread, right? So there's all these things. And I just feel like I'm just going to go in and allow myself to kind of bounce along in the water, bob along and see where the waves take me and whose side I'll be on. Because I think by the end, everything that we know or think we know is going to be challenged.
I agree with that, yes. Sol's got a lot of people speculating about his potential turns. I'm looking at, I think, the character Khmer, being like, we're talking about it some more, but why are you saying part of the Sith Creed? What are you doing? Could you put this helmet on, the one that looks like Dr. Teeth from the Muppets? Could you just put it on and see how it fits? Oddly enough, one of the only ones that I'm, I think after this trailer, that I'm starting to trust more than I had at the beginning of the teaser is the character of Mei. As you know, you said, Jen, maybe she's got his perspective. I don't know. I'm leaning towards it, but it's fascinating. Just when you know something's framed as a murder mystery, you know, you start looking around at everyone, Joseph.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think I want to be free of overly tightly held preconceived notions. Like a couple of the shots get my imagination firing, like I said, about like, ooh, is this the story? But what I like is not knowing what the story is, in particular when it comes to the coven. It feels like the coven, it feels almost like the trailer wants to, in a good way, psych us out. Like, because you could look at that trailer and you could start to put together a story of, like I said, well, maybe the Jedi took her when she was young and then she felt like taken away. And now for revenge, the Mother Anaseya is sending her to assassinate Jedi, right? You could almost make that surface story out of it. And I don't think that's going to be the story at all. I think it could be that the coven has a different view of the Force, but they're not the big bads of this show at all. They're an important, you know, like maybe it is that the Jedi kind of have a conflict of this, with this coven and Force philosophies, and poor Mei is trapped in the middle. And then this dark side user is the one, you know, the Cenobite is the one from Hellraiser, is the one who's like, that faction is the big bad and the one who is like stirring something up. And maybe by the end, it really, you know, half the show could be unneeded conflict with the coven, because at the end of the day, there. You know, that's where some of my thoughts go. I really hope that Jedi Master Sol is the kind of Jedi who is maybe making mistakes but trying to stay on the path.
Yeah, yeah.
Partially because I've already ordered an action figure of him. We'll see how it goes.
It wouldn't be quite getting the Razor Crest the weekend it blows up, but no. You know, yeah, it's the old "Don't get a tattoo of the Dragon Lady till all eight seasons are completed." Peter Dinklage quote from a couple years back. But no, I'm having fun with that though, because after the teaser trailer, I was really behind Sol, and I still am at this point. Right, it's too early to cast lots, but then I saw some of the fun speculation online. Then I was like, maybe he is the murderer. Maybe he is the problem. And now I'm rooting for him. Maybe, you know, so now I'm more invested in the character than even I was before the teaser trailer. And I'm having a lot of fun with that kind of murder mystery thing. And I agree with you, and Jen, I'm sure you got to agree with us here that Mother Anasea in a coven and all, I'm not immediately going to start rooting against you. I'm going to hear them out right now at this point.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's why that last moment with the dark side user was so shocking, because I did kind of see the coven. I was like, oh, I guess they're the kind of the antagonists, or maybe not, or maybe it's the Jedi. So I was just picturing these two. I had totally forgotten about any quote or anything. And then seeing that last moment was so shocking for me. But what I do enjoy about this show is that I can speculate, but it's almost like this show feels very new. It's not only one step ahead of us Star Wars fans who like to have our theories and our speculation. It's already built into the show that it's like, okay, yeah, you can speculate, and then we're going to flip it and you're going to be wrong. At least that's what I'm hoping will happen, is that it's going to not only be one step ahead, but totally upside down.
Yeah. I had a great conversation with a friend at CryptoCon Seattle this weekend who, you know, it was a really friendly, nice conversation, but you know, he hadn't really enjoyed Kenobi, and he was perfectly honest about it. Part of it is because, like, I played that story with my action figures, you know, 30 years ago. And I think we had a nice conversation about the challenge of legacy characters that we've all had times to make up these stories, and how refreshing Acolyte is to be like, we don't know anything about Jedi Master Sol. We don't know who Mother Anasea is. So we have this entirely different, and I think in some ways more open relationship to it. And that's a really nice place to be in.
Yes.
I love what you're both saying. Yeah. Ernesto Roe might be the only one, right, you know, that we're like, we know. But even, you know, again, a lot of people don't. And unfortunately, you know, High Republic is doing great. It's doing wonderful things. Got a passionate fan base, but not everyone's reading those books or comics. Totally get that. And I'm excited for them to dive into the beginning of the High Republic after the show or during the show. So I trust Vernestra. She's got a lot of baggage, it seems, from the description. She's seen a lot of bleep and she's onto some things here. So that put her aside, though. But you're both saying something I love of. I've long loved, like, let's go revisit Kenobi. Let's explore him at this time. Let's make it a think piece, a character study. Let's take some people we know. I'm finding myself more overjoyed at having a wide open road in front of me than I thought I would. I don't know. Speculation is almost back to its purest form for me. Of I'm meeting these friends all for the first time, and I don't know where it's going to go. And that's been freeing.
Yeah, I walked to my local media store and bought the Kenobi Blu-ray, season one Blu-ray, on the first day it was out to vote with my money for a Kenobi season two. But I want balance in Star Wars. I want some legacy characters. I want some ongoing stories. But then I also want this, because I think it is a different experience where it's there's some larger canon stuff, but generally we're open. I want to throw out one other character that I strangely didn't trust. I didn't think about it until you asked this question in the rundown, Ken. Yord, the Jedi that we've been told, played by, I believe, Charlie Barnett.
Oh, yeah.
The Jedi we've been told is very straight-laced. It isn't like I think he's a double agent or anything. I just, I had a surprisingly negative emotional reaction to Yord, in a good way, engaged with the story. Because, we were told in interviews that he's kind of the uptight, the Jedi are perfect, let's all follow the rules guy. And just his delivery of his one line in the trailer, I don't even remember what it was. He was just like, people are killing Jedi. It was like, I don't think the timeline works out, but it's like, is Yord Ki-Adi-Mundi's master? Yord seems to be that thread of the Jedi who are extremely certain of everything and aren't questioning themselves, but are falling to rigidity because they know the answer, period. And there, we don't need to hear why this coven is what the coven thinks. The coven's using the Force wrong, period. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't even that I like distrust him. I was just like, oh, we're going to spend some time with the people in the Jedi Order who are the problem. Mm. And Yord seems like the problem.
Yes.
Man, you're kind of hurting my soul over Yord. I was already I was already Team Yord.
Oh, no.
I'm a little rule follower that only crosses streets at the lights here. But you're right, and I hadn't really thought of that. And this is a series that's going to be analyzing a lot of things from the Sith and the Jedi. But one of the big things that's been discussed is the Jedi Order. How does it end up falling in the Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith? There's a lot to it. It's complicated. We're going to get to a lot of justice for Jedi, or hey, maybe don't be so hard on the Jedi conversations. This series is going to spawn a lot of those. But that is the truth. That it did start to change. It did start to, become an unmovable object in a world that was changing. And so someone like Yord, sad to admit, you're right, Joseph. I'm now putting him on the list of people I don't trust. Mm.
We'll see how it plays out. But we might be putting up a T-shirt that says Yord is the problem. Mm. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yord's the problem. Any other thoughts in general on characters before we move to, one specific character that could be Yord.
Yord in a mask. Let's do it.
All right. The teaser trailer brought us a red blade. There'd been a lot of talk about, Rule of Two, Darth Tenebris. Is there a young Palpatine in it? Where are we going with this? And even I have to own that I kind of resisted that. I knew this was going to be a, quote, dark side story. Dark side doesn't automatically mean Sith. The Acolyte is, it's a title that kind of lends itself to think there's something nefarious going on in the shadows there. A Sith master, a Sith apprentice, and a Sith Acolyte could possibly exist at the same time, pulling a lot of legend stuff. That's all out there. But this all came out of that teaser trailer with the red blade. And I thought it was, all right, cool. We have a red blade. But now to actually get this trailer revealing the holder of the blade, we've described them in many different ways. I want to just start on thoughts on this character's look. Then we can go to the potential Sith of all of it. But Jen, I've described him as Dr. Teeth. Joseph's made other references. What do you describe this Sith or Sith apprentice or acolyte as?
It's not accurate, but I was like, it's Star Wars Venom. Like, the face.
Very much so.
Gosh. That was a moment for me where I was like, ooh, holy Sith. This show is creepy. It's scary. It's dark. And I love it. It's a different tone. Just like the teeth, right? Or whatever that is. It feels so new for Star Wars. And which makes no sense. My very first reaction was, Kylo Ren? Is that you? I don't know why. I think just this kind of like the side thing of the helmet. Of course, when I saw the teeth, I was like, and of course the timeline, it makes absolutely no sense. But yeah, I'm excited. Who's under the mask?
But I do love those moments where you're like, oh, because is that a young Kylo? Wait, no, this is 100%.
Exactly.
A very, very young Kylo.
Oh.
time traveling Kylo.
Right.
Lovely. Yeah, I'm with you a lot.
World
there.
Between worlds, Kylo.
Yeah, there you go. Oh,
there you go. Joseph, your thoughts on just the look.
Yeah, I loved it. And I think when I was watching that the trailer the first time, that was the thing that hit me the most. Was it's a full trailer, so what are we going to reveal? And that when the red blade shot came up again, I was like, are they going to show us the red blade person? And so I was shocked and thrilled. I think Star Wars survives so much on a great blend of the new and the old, and sometimes the old is referring to itself in a way. And I love the idea that for decades that Darth Vader's armor wasn't just like, this is something Palpatine scratched up after Anakin got burnt up a bit, that it's got a legacy, that there's a reason the Sith dressed this way and a history to it. So to see, different variations of it as we have in, publishing and all that. So I think that idea of seeing whether this character is a Sith or not, technically seeing that kind of armor dating back that leads to Vader. And then the fact that to me, it does absolutely look, it's absolutely got a Kylo Ren profile of, same very rounded to the skull and then the little shorter fin off the helmet in the back instead of Vader's kind of larger fin. And that just like has great nerd chills of like, did poor fallen Ben Solo nerd out of like, I really liked Darth Teeth. He's a lesser known Sith acolyte, and I'm going to base my helmet off of his profile. You know, I'm not just my grandfather. I actually really like Darth Teeth too.
Yeah,
I'm into his early murders, all that kind of stuff. But then there's something, all the different references we've made, the Cenobites from the Hellraiser movies, you know, like Pinhead, right? But his whole race of beings, that pain is their pleasure. They all have like these weird, a lot of them have weird things of like, there's no eyes and a mouth that's too big and things like that. Mm-hmm. And so that's what made me think of that, of like, whatever it is, it does look like a row of teeth. So the teeth things make sense. The venom thing, it's just, it's a little bit more almost like 90s to 2000s image of what horror looks like. To me, it was great because it was sort of combined with the oldest of Star Wars imagery baked into old feudal armor turned into space wizard with like, is that guy in the Insane Clown Posse? Like it's a great mixture of new and old.
Yeah. That would be frightening on its own. If that was the case. I think, and just in terms of the reveal, I was surprised, but I think I was surprised by the red blade. And I'm trying to own, maybe trying to win bar arguments of like, this isn't a story about the Sith. And then Leslie Edens come out and be like, oh, I wanted to tell a Sith story. And I've had to be like, okay, absolutely. I have to set aside what I wanted or what I thought, or just trying to hold on to, I'm right, you're wrong. And so I like the red blade, but there's still wiggle room around it. There's still wiggle room around it of who is an actual Sith and who's just believing and all that stuff. And I think that's part of the fun. But I like that they did the reveal, because then I thought, okay, that kind of answers something. But then as we're talking about, it just creates a ton more questions of who's in it. When we're going to find that out, and that we know this is there, this is hanging over it. It's like almost not saying this is the intention of the trailer, but it's like the murder mystery that begins with the murder, and now we're going to build back to it. That kind of format of like, all right, we know this character exists. The Jedi have seen it, and I know we had all the discourse of, but Ki-Adi Mundi said the point in Phantom Menace and prequels is the Jedi were wrong about this, and the Jedi had some hubris about this, and the Jedi were misinformed. So the Sith definitely existed. That's why they kept going. So I love that we are just going to face it. And I wanted to talk about that of where are we right now with the potential Sith of it all, Joseph, at the center of the story.
Yeah, I think for me, where I'm at is just trust. I just trust these creators that I have no doubt they are extremely well aware of the dialogue in The Phantom Menace.
Yeah, I think that.
You know, there's a famous story from classic Doctor Who where the original actor of the Doctor, William Hartnell, got letters from kids, and he really wanted it to be real for kids. So he made up on the TARDIS controls what the different controls do so that it could be consistent for the kids. And then later on, directors came in and said, nobody knows that button opens the door or whatever. And like, we used to live in a world where, you know, that was a conflict.
Yeah.
We don't live in that world anymore. The creators of this show have seen The Phantom Menace, and they're aware of Ki-Adi Mundi and Mace Windu's opinion that the Sith are extinct. It reminds me of the helmet thing in The Mandalorian of like, this isn't an accident. It's a question. One of the last lines in the trailer is Saul screaming, what are you? Mm-hmm. It's a question. Mm-hmm. It's a mystery. It's the point. Mm-hmm. And in terms of speculation, there's a million ways it could go. It could be an offshoot of the Sith. If Darth Penverse is the reigning Sith, this could be a rejected apprentice doing their own thing. This could be a pretender. This could be someone from a whole other coven masking themselves in the garb of a Sith to frighten the Jedi, you know. This could be memory hold. I've heard people talking about that. This could be memory hold by the Jedi, where all the Jedi who saw this Sith die. Or maybe they bring it to the council, and the council even then is like, no. And it gets relegated to a maybe, and people don't take it seriously. There's so many ways for it to align with Ki-Adi Mundi and Mace's certainty in The Phantom Menace. And I feel like that's a feature, not a bug, of the Acolyte.
It's part of the mystery. It's part of the mystery to go, but how come, you know, as Leslie Headland has said so many times, how do we're getting to the Phantom Menace and the dawn of that era. And this is part of that mystery to me. I'm with you on a lot of that there. And yeah, there's a lot of wiggle room, but I like that. Again, I like that this is what we're playing with and a cool design, but potential, you know, deeper themes, Jen, on this character. What's your thoughts on the Sith of it all?
Yeah, well, that's a very good point, Joseph, that I kind of am just like, it can be so many different things and the mystery is the point. And if you look at the comments on the trailer on YouTube, everyone's filling in who are you or what are you? And they have a lot of ideas on who or what that person is. Some have better theories than others. Yours. Some are clearly jokes, but that's the point of it. And so, yeah, I'm excited. I saw a lot of speculation on Reddit about some people, but I'm not going to go into that.
Absolutely. And I'm you're so right too, Joseph. On Soul doesn't say you're a Sith. Yes. Who are you?
Yeah.
Who are you?
What are you? Right.
What are you? Yeah. And not unlike, some of the conversations with Qui-Gon and Mace. Qui-Gon going, pretty sure that was a Sith that just tried to run over this kid in the desert and fight me. Like, are you sure? Are you sure? Pretty sure. That's fun. And as far as just open speculation, I am so wide open on it. We have some suspects. We've already named a few here, but I also kind of like the idea that it's someone completely new to the characters we've already learned about. That it's someone else. But I'm keeping my mind and heart open. Any final thoughts on the Sith of it all? And by the way, we could probably spend a long time on this. Joseph, I just think it's interesting to me that it's at the center of this series, and I'm more excited about that than I expected.
Yeah, I just think it's really at the heart of it. We make the Ki-Adi Mundi jokes, but like he's written really well in The Living Force as somebody who isn't finding a lot of joy in their life, and other members of the Jedi Council are, and he is rigid, and so is Mace, and the point of that in The Phantom Menace, having seen it again, is like the Jedi do come across very rigid and very certain. Yoda's like the only one who's like, so it was like, well, the dark side's hard to see. The point of this show is the Jedi fall partially because of their rigidity and certainty. So if we're seeing a truth that doesn't align with Ki-Adi Mundi's rigidity, that's probably the heart of the show.
Right.
Yeah, having seen Phantom Menace large and in charge in front of our faces, I can't tell you how much I love Anakin's cold, sir. Just like, hey, jerk balls, what are you doing to me here? Like,
how do you think a child from a desert who just lost their mom feels? Yeah, a-holes.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great moment. Great moment. And I think feeds into a lot of what this show is going to be trying to explore and if not answer at times there. All right, Jen, any final Sith thoughts before we move forward?
I had forgotten. He does say, what are you? And it really, in the appearance, it felt like they were staring down a monster, like, a monstrosity of some sort. Like, what are you? You're not human. You don't have a soul. You're a monster. So, yeah, I'm excited to see who the monster is.
And some figures I'm sure will be out there to purchase to display this character on your shelves. All right, we've started our exploration of the Acolyte official trailer, but we got some tasty themes on the way. We're going to take a quick break here and come back for a deeper look at the themes in the Acolyte trailer.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
All right, let's dive on in here. I have pulled some what I'm calling theme markers. Like, we're surveying land here. I put some markers down, and then we'll dive into it. And Joseph, we'll get to you first on these themes. But let me put this down on the table, some cards. I'm dealing out Uno cards here. The trailer has the title cards that say, "No one is safe from the truth." Leslie Headland has said, "I hope audiences embrace the duality that exists in every character in the show." Keep that in mind when we come back to the key art discussion here at the end. Chimere, a former smuggler, according to the databank, says, "The Jedi justify their galactic dominance in the name of peace, but that peace is a lie." That, of course, got people talking because that is the first line in the Sith words that you can get tattooed on your back if you want. Jedi Master Vanessa Roy says, "I sense this is only a small part of a larger plan, some sort of shift to tip the scales." And Mother Anasea, we discussed it already, but destiny is not decided for you by an anonymous force. If you want to pull the thread and change everything, then pull it. Oh, Joseph, tasty themes all up and down this trailer.
Yeah, all sorts of things going on. Also kind of circling around, I think, like, what connects almost all of these things is the sort of questioning of the Jedi and who is right to question them, but also who is benefiting by questioning them and who is sincere in their questioning and who, like the Sith, want something out of questioning the Jedi. So I kind of thought of a theme of false equivalence of the great seduction of Anakin Skywalker in the opera booth in Revenge of the Sith. Palpatine's whole argument is like, well, the Jedi just want power too. So they're just as bad as the Sith. The Sith are just honest about it, you know. So that first step towards accepting the Sith towards accepting violence in the dark side and caring more about yourself than in anyone and everyone else starts with the other guys are just as bad as us. They're just as selfish and you have to be mm-hmm. honest about it. So for me, it feels like this, these are a lot of characters who are presenting probably honestly and truthfully that the Jedi are making mistakes, mm-hmm. but then taking that step from, and so the Jedi should acknowledge that and try to fix that, to the Jedi are bad. Therefore, whatever we want to do, no matter how awful, is just fine and justified. Mm-hmm. And that's the galaxy we live in. And I'm kind of hoping to see like a spectrum of views from Vernestra Rowe being like, I feel like Vernestra Rowe's line could be like, yeah, no, she's onto the Phantom Menace. Like, you know, the same as Obi-Wan's line at the beginning of, you know, I sent something elsewhere elusive. Right. Mm-hmm. But nobody listens. The Yords in the Ki-Adi Mundis win and don't want to acknowledge the legitimate problems of the Jedi. But then the legitimate problems of the Jedi are maybe used by somebody like Kamir, who maybe does have an ulterior motive to justify Sith actions, all that kind of stuff. So I think there's this really, really interesting idea of, yes, we should hold the Jedi to account, but are we freeing ourselves from any accountability by just saying the other guys do it too falsely? Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, a lot of great stuff there. Number one, we are really turning Yord into a bad guy. This boy doesn't have a chance. He doesn't have a chance, and I'm with you. I'm with you. Look, there's a lot of things here, and I love what you said about, hey, when someone says something like this, and I'll own it. I mean this in a good way. This line from Kamir, the Jedi justify the galactic dominance in the name of peace, but the peace is a lie. I wasn't worried about the potential Sith connections. I was angry when he said that, like the first viewer. I was like, no, don't you do that. Don't you do the false equivalency. You're totally doing this thing here. Now, I think it's always right to question what the Jedi are doing with their place and their position. I at the time of this episode, halfway through The Living Force, I know you have finished it, but I think at least the beginning of it is dealing with this, like, hey, people have thoughts on us. And maybe we know our intentions, but maybe it's not a bad thing to dig into the thoughts about us because it might be a reality if we're not careful. And that's not challenging in a bad way. That's questioning and hopefully strengthening your identity and resolve. So I think there's a lot of that already at play. But it was just that quote of course. Yeah, you're right. It is an opera house scene. You might as well be in an opera house from the smuggler. But you said it, like, what does he have to gain out of that? As we're going through a list of suspects for either Jedi murders or who's the Sith, all these things in a show about mysteries, every time someone says something, I want to weigh what are they going to gain out of it. And Jen, I'll challenge you up top. You give me your themes, but you're already, you know, you're on board for Mother Anasaya, as I am too. What has she got to gain out of pulling threads?
Oh, I love that she's basically saying your destiny is your own. It is not chosen for you, which kind of goes against at least how I saw Star Wars as a kid was, you know, who is the chosen one? And Luke was chosen for this destiny, the Force, right? All this stuff. And here they're saying no. But what do you want to do with that, right? Do you want to go and become May and kill people or do whatever, which is kind of, well, we don't know. This is taken out of context. We don't even know if she's talking to May, right?
Sure.
So I like that. It's a different version of the hero's journey, which goes into my thing about no one is safe from the truth. And like you're saying, Joseph, accountability. I think that this is an important message because so often there are people that we believe in our real life that are on the right side of history. They're good people. They're doing the right thing. But maybe there's times where they need to be held accountable. The truth will always find you. And I love that. Even if you believe you're on the right side, doing the right thing, you cannot escape that and you will be held accountable.
Yeah, no, I love that truth throughout history, too. Of you'll be reading about some figure and you're like, you did 90% amazing thing. And you did like these one or two things that are like, and I'm even talking about somebody doing something like really awful and interpersonally. I'm talking about like leaders who made choices, you know, like the Jedi, and be like, I know your heart was in the right place. And wow, you really saw ahead and were great on these eight things. And then you did two awful things that history will judge you for. Mm-hmm. And I think this show feels like it's like that kind of complexity where we're going to see heroes of the Jedi Order, and mm-hmm. we're going to see people making bad choices, and they need to be held to account, you know. And I think it might be that the coven is entirely relatable, mm-hmm. and they're like, we just mm-hmm. want to practice the Force in a different way, mm-hmm. or practice whatever they call the Force, because Mother Anastasia seems like she's kind of looking down on it by, like, they probably don't even use the term Force, right. by an anonymous Force. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It seems a little dismissive. You know, it could be that they're mm-hmm. like, we do just want to do things our way, and we do have some Jedi coming around telling us we can't, you know. Mm-hmm. But I love that line of hers about pulling the thread and changing everything. It kind of goes back to me even to, you know, Luke asking Obi-Wan about the Force, and Obi-Wan saying, you know, that it tells you what to do, but it also obeys your commands, you know. So as a coven, like, the Jedi are always trying to take deep breaths and listen to the will of the Force via the midichlorians, and where is it leading us? And, you know, I didn't mean to be on this path, but I am, so I'll accept it. And maybe there are people like, no, we control the Force. Mm-hmm. It gives us power to do things. It gives us agency. We can make big decisions because of it. And the Jedi mm-hmm. kind of feel like they balance that of, like, we listen mm-hmm. to it, but then we also manipulate it. And maybe the coven's like, we don't listen to bleep. We manipulate. Mm-hmm. It's a power, and we use the power mm-hmm. the way we believe is right. Go use your power.
Yeah. That, well, there's that line in the teaser I don't have in front of me. I apologize for Mother Anastasia, right? This is about power and, like, who has the mm-hmm. right to use it.
And who gets
like
to
that.
Wield it. Yeah.
Who gets to wield it. Yeah, thank you. This is proving to be... I mean, I have to kind of even temper my expectations. I hope she's in every episode.
Yeah.
Everything she said is really intriguing about this. And Jen, I want to talk about what you're talking about, the destiny and the hero's journey. It's so key to Star Wars and most myth storytelling and movies. And everyone, you know, was looking for our own sword in a stone to answer all of our questions. And I think a lot of times, especially when you were off our show weekly here for a little bit, you know, I think this kind of was a revelation I had for myself of exactly what you're saying, being a original trilogy 80s kid of you know, it was misinterpretation or misunderstanding mm-hmm. from my point of view of just like, Luke's on this journey and it's all good, right? Some things happen. He could have died, but he's chosen. Anakin's chosen.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't even think that's what George's intentions were.
No.
He very clearly is dealing with choices. But I think for me to kind of switch my perspective to be in this, we say it a lot here. Joseph's said it with me too here. But destiny is just, you know, taking you to your next choice. And I like that concept. You can get into the weeds on it and apply it different ways, of course. But I think there's something about that I like here of analyzing. You know, especially to a character like May, who been plucked, you know, to join the major leagues here, and they wield this power, but you could still do what you want here. You have control. You know, hopefully it does not to overpower others or to destroy others. That's part of the choices. Anyway, I wanted to comment on that because I thought it's a great observation from you, Jen, on our journey too.
Yeah, no. Yeah. And I think it even goes back to the tales of the Empire with the mother mm-hmm. telling Morgan, yeah. your destiny is your fate is sealed. I've seen it. You're done. You know, mm-hmm. but here we're getting your destiny is not decided. You, even though if you have suffered trauma, you can change it. It's not mm-hmm. pre-written. And I really like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think I think there are so many lines of dialogue in the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy of, you know, it is your destiny. But when you yeah. break it down, it's almost always the villains who say, like, your decision is already made. And yeah. I think what the wise elders, Yoda and Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon, are always trying to tell us of, like, life is hard. And because of circumstances, you're going to be faced with a choice. And you can't avoid that choice. Your destiny is to make a choice. Mm-hmm. Vader's your dad. Rey, mm-hmm. your lineage is this, and a bunch of people are going to tell you what it means. You can't avoid having to decide mm-hmm. for yourself what it means to you. And so I think we've seen that story in a kind of interesting, empowering way. And it's so fun to not know exactly where Mother Anastasia is coming from. If mm-hmm. it's from an empowering way of, you know, decide for yourself who you want to be versus go cut them up, mm-hmm, kid. Mm-hmm. And also, final thought on that, I think the Jedi taking a deep breath, being very zen and saying, well, I'll see where life leads me and I'll make the choices, can be a very beautiful thing. But it can also be a letting go of responsibility, right? Because I could see a Jedi ending up making a choice and going, what? The Force led me here and I just did what the Force told me to. Is also a dangerous absolving of personal responsibility.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, a lot of tasty stuff in there, I love. And what I, again, focusing final thought on this and say a quote, at least for me at this point, it's a great trailer line. We got some wonderful trailer lines in here. It's a great trailer line, perfectly delivered. And yeah, Jen, there's always a room for it to be somewhat out of context, I know. But it's like we a lot of Star Wars trailers, we get the hopeful, we get Luke going, you know, this is now your fight and everything we've taught you, every generation lives in you, and I'm the wise old inspiring Jedi master. And then we got, you know, darkness rises, light to meet it, and you will give me everything, Snoke kind of Palpatine versions. And this character, keeping with one of the themes of the show, There's duality crawling all through these lines here.
Mm-hmm.
You could pull that thread and it can go bad. You can pull that thread and it can be good. It's really intriguing to me.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jen, final thoughts on Mother Anasaya and this quote. We'll dive into more themes afterwards.
Oh, that's great. And that goes to Leslie Headland's point that it's going to, we the audience need to embrace the duality that exists in every character.
I agree. Joseph, where do you want to go next? Or is that on your block? Where do you want to go?
Yeah, I think just the idea of duality is really great. And obviously Star Wars, you know, starting from the first film, has a kind of a more simple version of light and dark, right? That is a duality that's at the center of Star Wars. And in the first film, it's like pretty, hey, the heroes wear white clothing. The bad guy wears dark clothing. The guy who is the fulcrum, Han, wears white and black clothing. You know, pretty cut and dried. But I think the intent of Star Wars in starting right away with Empire Strikes Back is to say, like, no, that is not this exterior simple duality. We all contain duality. And I think this theme of duality and choice of choosing who to be is I'm hoping to see that broken down on a macro level of there's some sort of dark side user or Sith opposing the Jedi, light and dark. But then each individual Jedi, you know, each coven member is wrestling with that duality of I have lightness and darkness in me. That's natural. But what action am I choosing? Leslie Headland's talked about really that this show is from the perspective of the dark side users. Mm-hmm. Which I don't think that to mean it's going to be saying the dark side users were right and we should have a parade for Order 66. I don't think that's what it's saying. I think what Star Wars has always done is and can even do more is I empathize with the bad guys. I understand your pain. I can't support the actions you choose to take based on your pain. Mm-hmm. So this is an examination of that kind of duality of understanding where you come from, but also not being able to, you know, accept horrific actions taken based on pain.
Yeah.
That would be a really great thing to me.
I love that. And to me, all that you're saying is you know, challenged from this idea of the truth, and no one is safe from the truth is a really strong statement for a trailer that's about a murder mystery, but also this big mythological story in a bigger saga. I don't know. I loved this. Was well chosen lines all the way through all the way through this. Jen, any other final theme thoughts here?
No, I think I got it. Yeah, the accountability, destiny. Those are my two top ones.
Yeah, I'm looking at here as well. I do want to maybe one final swing through Kamir's line specifically, the Jedi justify the Galactic Dominance in the name of peace, but that peace is a lie. Again, Sith stuff attached to that potentially. I don't know. Am I alone, Joseph? Don't you want to get angry at this guy? You've said it so well up top, but I want to close with just like, am I alone here going, no, I don't trust you and you're wrong.
Yeah,
but you're wrong.
Yeah, obviously, the trailer stuff is all mixed and matched, and, you know, I'm not inferring direct meaning, but in terms of analyzing the trailer, it cuts immediately from that to Indara blocking knives with her blade. Mm-hmm. And yes. So it has, that's to me one of the moments that really got me thinking about false equivalents of like, mm-hmm. you stay here for peace, but you walk around with swords. Like, yeah, because we also have A, they're for defense. We want to defend ourselves. And we also have mm-hmm. agency. We've got this power and we decided not just to meditate alone on a hill. We decided mm-hmm. to actively use it. Jarl Poof's quote in Light of the Jedi is, it's one of those times where publishing, you know, a moment in publishing really solidifies the way I look at Star Wars. And Jarl Poof has this great quote of like, you know, we are the guardians of peace and justice. And peace and justice sometimes don't go together. Mm. To me, meaning like the Jedi are like, we would love for everyone to be at peace and to meditate and to get angry, except it's natural, then have a nice conversation and a meal, move on.
Yeah.
But we also believe in justice, which means if the Hutts are violently trampling a town, we might show up with our lightsabers and focus on justice, because the only way to keep that other person alive is to fight with this person. It's a difficult world to walk. And the way this is cut together, it just feels like Kamir's taking this cheap shot of like,
it's cheap. Yeah.
And Dara claims she's all about peace, but then she's fighting in a lightsaber with in a bar. Like, yeah, because someone's trying to kill her with knives. Yeah. You jerk. That's the way I took that line.
Good. I'm glad I'm not alone there. Yeah, you know, okay, peace and justice, and often the pursuit of justice turns to vengeance, and that's kind of, you know, about what you do with the power and position and what you think. So, yeah, deep stuff here, deep stuff all the way through. We could probably spend a lot longer talking about the themes, but I have a feeling each week when we break down the show for the time that it's out, we're going to be having a lot of fun analyzing this stuff here. I think it's going to be rich. Any final thoughts on this trailer before we move on to the key art, Jen?
No, I actually really liked Kamir. It's like, yes, okay, tell me why. I don't.
It doesn't have to. I'm not right here.
I thought that the character was interesting, and I thought, well, let me hear his argument. Why? Because he seemed very like it seemed very truthful to him, and I'm hoping that the show shows us why he believes that. I think we're going to get that.
Yes.
And the fact that it is a Sith line, and somebody even in the comments was like, "Oh, it's a Knights of the Old Republic quote." I was like, "Oh, okay, wait, hold on. I'm going to the dark side on this one already." But maybe he has a point. Yeah.
No, I mean, I think the Martinez sisters are an example of this in on-screen stuff. Yeah. The publishing has a lot of this there are people who are like a Jedi put in an impossible choice of like, I'm in the middle of a marketplace and the lightsaber's got to come out to stop somebody. But other people are traumatized by that violence in their community.
Yeah.
And what's the Jedi going to do? Not defense. Not act in defense and get somebody else killed, but then they do leave this traumatized kid behind. Mm-hmm. And I think it's one of the part of the storytelling that I like and why I talk about justice for the Jedi of like, it's a difficult path and they're going to make mistakes. And sometimes it's very real. The Living Force has some great, really real world stuff of like, I can help this person, but that other person isn't going to like it. Mm-hmm. I'm doing my best, you know? Mm-hmm. And I would love if Kamir was a character who had been traumatized by Jedi violence. But then when you hear the Jedi's perspective, you're like, well, yeah, but the Jedi had to do that, right? And both perspectives are valid. And now what matters is, what do you do based on it? Who do you become based on the trauma?
Right.
Look, I love that the conversation about Kamir has become a bonus episode of the Subjective Wars. Good or bad.
Right.
Some duality. And I think it's intriguing. He's a former smuggler. Mm-hmm. What does he want out of that? What does he get out of that line?
Right.
We'll see.
Right.
There you go. Yeah, final thoughts on the trailer for me before we go to the key art is, hot damn, that was fun.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. And you know, we haven't talked about, Trinity in Star Wars, which is what it's designed to be. Kel Naka is still an intriguing character. I trust him wholeheartedly. Am I going to be wrong in that? We'll see. I like a Jedi Wookiee that's like, I'm just going to go hang out in the forest. Leave me alone for a little bit. There's a lot there. And I do think the series just looks good. That is not a comment on shows that have come before, but I know there's a lot of opinions about it, and I've had those conversations. We've had those conversations. There's some limitations to the volume. As the volume grows, what can you do? What is the volume? Sometimes you don't think it is, and it is. Sometimes it's not. This show is going to look, I think, unique to itself and take the best of a lot of the shows that have come out so far. And I'm interested in that, and I think it looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Speaking of looking really good, They released some Acolyte key art. This also came out. Who doesn't love key art? In my day, we called them posters, but they were always key art. There it is. A great poster of, you got Dr. Teeth on one side, you got... what's her? Indara, right? I keep forgetting the name. Indara. Yeah. I just want to keep calling her Trinity. We got all the characters here. They're all representative. Mother and Sia right there to center. This is a good poster. This is a hot damn poster for me. Joseph, what do you think of this key art?
The two things that stood out to me strongest is a good lightsaber composition. Just because honestly from, I won't go on about it. I got a visual art degree and I try to justify all that money and time every way I can. So sometimes I talk about poster composition, but lightsabers are challenging. And I love the choice made here where Sol just has his straight across the line and then all of the other angles are on a diagonal, but they actually match. You get a lot of Star Wars posters where all of the lightsabers are kind of doing their own thing. So aesthetic wise, it makes it look really tight. And then I'm sure we'll talk about it, but I don't know who the little weirdo is down at the bottom by Mother Anasia.
There's a couple of weirdos, right? Yeah, Kanaka. Yeah, you're right.
So there's the Jedi that we've mostly met in Kamir and Vernestra with the blade out and Torben and Yord. And all the other apparently Scandinavian Jedi based on their names. But then right by Mother Anasia, there's just like, it looks like some like Ewok cosplayer snuck in at the bottom.
It looks like an Ewok. And I was like, maybe I'm just, I've always got Ewok on the brain, but I was like, come on. Are you kidding me? Please let it be. Yeah. I can't let myself get emotional over this. Maybe it's like an Ewok like creature.
Yeah.
Species.
I like that there.
I also really like Mother Anasia's pose that it is. We've spent a lot of this episode talking about the philosophy, and I'm really happy that it looks like it's going to deal with Jedi philosophy, but it also looks like it is going to just have absolute fun with the pulpy of mysticism, with cool lightsaber mixed with Eastern martial arts fighting and a full-on coven with on this poster with like full-on, I mean, that could be from Macbeth with a pot boiling underneath it. It's, you know, it's real. Yeah, coven, witches. Let's do this. I love it.
That's so great.
That's Shakespeare's music. Love that there. Now, the big thing here, we talk about clues, anything of the characters jumping out to you. I think you're right to break it down from a design standpoint. Joseph Luck can be there. But I'll address this. The fans are abuzz with predictions that Amanda Steinberg is playing twins, not just May, but maybe twins, because of the dual images of her on the poster. So we can discuss that as much as we want. We can go down that path. We can speculate wildly. I'll start by saying that's completely possible. It's not a Ken, you're wrong. I gotcha. You bet wrong. If she's twins, she's twins. I just think it has more to do with the theme of duality. I mean, Lessa Headland has said that. I'm going to say it again. I hope audiences embrace the duality that exists in every character in the show. Always, always open to being wrong, because I hate when I predict Star Wars right, because I shouldn't be writing this show. These wonderful creators should. I'll start there. Joseph, where do you go with the duality of these two shots?
Yeah, I saw on social media over the weekend when I was at the horror film festival a post saying, confirmed, May is twins like we've all been thinking.
What?
And I was like, I have missed so much. And I emailed Ken. It's like, I'm too out of the loop. Can you write down the notes for the rundown? Because like, how did I miss that? I'm so tired. I missed that. That absolutely could be a possibility, and maybe the detectives on Reddit have found all sorts of breadcrumbs that we haven't talked about. Sure. If May is two characters, if May is twins, there's some Star Wars history with that. That would be cool and interesting. Great. What I get out of the poster is that it is a story about duality and choices. And these are the two paths that this character could take, a more light path and a more dark path. I also think there is some level of practicality that Mandela is the star, the main character. And because I think of the way the trailers are cut, we are mostly seeing Amandala in assassin mode with a large amount of face covered. The first May action figure is Assassin May. There's going to be other looks for May. There's going to be other action figures. And so for me, there is also a kind of a power of, it fits the duality theme. We get the image of May that we're mostly seeing in the trailers, but we also then have a really clear visual of the main actor's face to make an emotional connection, to make a promotional connection, as Amanda Stenberg, no doubt, goes on the promotional circuit.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And if I'm going to get really tiny and pedantic and look at it, I'm looking at it now here. May without the mask is a layer in front of May with the mask. You know, it's like the mask is a shadow behind her face. If I want to get, but again, Jen, pitch it to you. But they could absolutely be like, hey, how do we show duality? The twins totally could be it, and I wouldn't have a problem. But I just that I saw that what you're talking about, Joseph, confirmed. Pump the brakes for me on that one there. But Jen, who knows? What do you feel?
I don't think it's twins. It's metaphoric, you know? It's got two sides to her, the light and the dark, right? Like the good and the bad. But I don't think it's like good twin, evil twin.
You take the good, you take the bad, the facts of life.
And there you have the facts of life. That's right.
the acolyte.
Yeah.
The acolyte.
Yeah, but it is nice to see her face because, I mean, yeah, for the certainly the teaser and part of the trailer, her face was covered up. So, you know me, I'm always like, take off the helmet, take off the mask, let me see your face. So I'm happy that we get to see Amanda's face.
Yeah, love that. There any other themes or character tips jumping out to you, Jen?
This poster is dynamic. I love that nobody looks, well, actually, Amanda kind of looks at peace, but nobody else looks at peace. Everyone looks poised, ready to fight, ready for action. Something is coming. Mother Anasea with her magic hands. Oh, my gosh. This is so right. Like, it's just so like this is where my eye goes to immediately. And that just to me is like, get ready for the magic we're going to be brewing for you fans. Oh, and here's an Ewok like character. I got to know. It's not an Ewok, at least I don't think. But boy,
it's a Shmiwok. It's a Shmiwok.
Give me
it's
that.
An awesome Shmiwok.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my
God.
There's a droid there too. We haven't focused on that little that droid.
The droid.
We gotta have some droids around these parts.
Yeah, I think that droid might have a data bank entry, but I can't remember.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I think the little guy is. I don't want to zoom in because it'll mess up all my other stuff on my computer. But yeah, looks like got a different Ewok nose. But you
for
know what?
Sure.
Hey, you know what? There could be a. We've only met that one village of Ewoks. It could be an entirely different village of Ewoks. Maybe they'll go to the other side of the forest moon of Endor and meet different Ewoks who live underground.
Right.
Not in the trees.
Right. So they're, what
the burrowing Ewoks.
The burrowing Ewoks.
The
singing burrowing Ewoks. It also sounds like you're setting up for the return of Teek. To jump into Star Wars canon. And
I mean,
here we go.
Those aliens that she wanted to pull from every element.
Yeah. Can you imagine? OMG.
CGI Bradley, what's his name? Who's in. I'm forgetting the actor's name.
Oh, gosh.
In the Ewok movies.
Oh, gosh. I don't even remember you know what I mean? His name.
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah.
I see his hair, but
I'm still.
We're all very tired. Correct. The uplighting on Mother Anasea is also very great and witchy.
Yeah.
But the other thing for me that is a little I got to control myself because we talked about it last week in the news show. I am kind of jazzed that the poster portrays Vernessa Rose purple lightsaber out ignited and ready to become a light whip. Because there was that discussion about whether or not her light whip is going to appear. There's a quote from Leslie Headland acknowledging the light whip, and people were taking that as confirmation that the light whip is going to appear. Seeing Vernestra's lightsaber actually ignited makes me feel like, we got some good light whip chances.
Light whip chances are going up. We're going to track this stuff. We're going to have a big scoreboard every week. Do we see the light whip? What side is Kamir on? What does Mother Anastasia say? Well, a wonderful breakdown of the poster. It's really good. And it's good to see. Star Wars posters are generally always pretty good. There was that weird time, it was the 15, 16, 17 range, where I think a lot of the big movies, Star Wars included, sometimes had, not generic, I don't want to insult generic, but you know, they all had kind of the same design. faces and everything looking. This is a little bit of a different planet for me, and I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. All right, wrapping up. We are towards the end here. What more do we need? What do we feel we need from the marketing of the show? June 4th is right around the corner. Are we ready, Jen?
We are so ready. I don't need any more. Maybe Anthony Bresnikan can do like a nice little piece on it, right? I'll take that with some of the actors interviewing them. Leslie Headland, if it hasn't already been done, I don't even know anymore. I guess I'm so primed and ready to go. Don't give me any more, because then I'm going to start speculating. And I don't want to speculate. I just want to go in fresh and ready.
I feel bad because I auto shook my head no at the Anthony Bresnikan thing. And I don't want anyone watching the YouTube to think that's about Anthony. I've had the pleasure of meeting Anthony, and he's a sweetheart and he loves Star Wars. But, you know, that Last Jedi, that one poor, you know, creature designer, I think. Mm-hmm. Didn't know he was spilling the beans about how important the crystal clearers, the Vulptices were.
Oh,
and he told Anthony more than he was supposed to, which is it's not anybody's fault. It's that the human made a mistake, and you know, Anthony's a journalist and ran with it. What are you going to do? But I just I don't want a bunch more. Anyway.
Yep.
This is a mystery show, so I think the mystery is important. And what I want is there's a building on Sunset on the way to my wife's work on Sunset Boulevard that Disney sometimes puts like the full building billboard up. I want a full building billboard of this poster. I want commercials running on 30-second commercials running on every popular broadcast network. I want Lucasfilm to push hard for the casuals.
Yes.
We're in here talking about the light whip and will this, you know, agree with Ki-Adi Mundi's quote from, you know, minute this of the Phantom Menace. And that's great. And it can be absorbed that way. But I think the power of this show is it's going to be extremely familiar or extremely welcoming to more casual Star Wars fans. So I hope the advertising is focused on finding them.
Yes. Mm. 100%.
I really agree with that. I'm with you both. Shout out to our Force Center friend, Matty Gunner, who has sequestered himself from any Acolyte talk. He's not even hearing me say this because he just won't click on anything that has Acolyte in it. It's hard to do in these times, but he's so excited for this show and he's raring to go. And there's others like that. So I'm with you. I think the TV spots of Force Awakens started to get me grumpy right here on this podcast feed years ago. And I can still have the, hey, we're ready. What's interesting about this here, when I asked this question of ourselves, are we ready? I think we're ready. We're ready because there's so much we don't know and can't know.
Right.
Every once in a while, I get hired by the fine folks at Fandom to script some of their videos of everything you need to know before, right? And they haven't contacted me for this one because other than the High Republic, and you can't get into the weeds on that, you can just be like, well, it's the High Republic. We don't know. These are Jedi. These are this is the Republic 100 years before Phantom Menace or 50 years before Phantom Menace, right? That's kind of it. It's time to play ball. And I'm excited for that in June 4th. Can't come soon enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. We've done it. We've taken a look at the trailer. The Acolyte Report will be coming your way. Two episodes drop on June 4th. So we're going to have a lot of fun with those. 8 episodes in the run of what I hope is just season 1. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll be open to it all here. All right. There you go. Any final thoughts, Joseph? Are you ready?
No, I'm so ready. I'm so excited. To me, it looks like a dream Star Wars show for me. I love the Jedi. I love the Force. I love the mysticism. And I love celebrating both the pulpy adventure fun of that and the deep philosophy of the responsibility of that. And it so looks like the show is going to do both. So I'm very excited for it.
There you go. I look for Joseph on the Sunset Strip with one of those clapboards and a bell going, it's for casual. And in the bubble.
Yord is the problem.
Oh my God.
Beware of Yord. All right. Jen, you ready? Let's do it. Let's watch. This is going
to
be fun.
Let's go. I'm going to tell everyone I know to keep Star Wars alive, to get more Star Wars stories, we need to have shows that appeal beyond our bubble, right? And I think that this show could do that, which could make it a massive hit. I'm so excited. I'm happy that Lucasfilm is really, you know, doing the promotion, get it out there. Because, I want more Star Wars until I'm 80.
Yeah, that sounds like a good thing. Don't say that number. Don't say that number. Yeah. But yes.
Until I'm older. How about that?
All right. Thanks for listening and watching today, everybody. We're Force Center. The Force Center Show can be found on social media platforms at Force Center Pod. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. We are available as a podcast on a lot of different spots. Just search. You'll find us. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/Force Center. And you can support us directly at patreon.com/Force Center. A lot of cool things over there, including 007 Center. We are into Quantum of Solace and moving forward with that. That's exclusive for Patreon supporters and also available on our Patreon shop. Follow me at Ken Napsok or go to my website, Ken Napsok. Well, I still have it for one more month to find out more information on all the things I do. Jen, where can they find and follow you?
If you love Ewoks like I do, join me on my social medias at Jennifer Landa or TikTok at Jennifer Landa 1138.
There you go. Joseph, where can they find you and your thoughts?
Well, I can't wait to be wrong about Yord. I'm fascinated to see how it all turns out. Anyway, you can find all my stuff on my website, josephscrimshaw.com, and follow me on various social media, Instagram, Blue Sky, Threads, all sorts of places like that. My handle is at Joseph Scrimshaw everywhere. And if you'd like to check out the short horror film, The Nightmare Adorable, that is coming up this weekend at Crimson Screen in Columbia, South Carolina, if you happen to be in the area. I got information about that on my website, josephscrimshaw.com. That's it for me.
There you go. All right. Just remember, peace is not the lie. Khmer's the lie. All right. We'll see you next time here.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.